This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Mike.
The closed palm is indigenous to the North Carolina girl colonies.
Hang on, let me do something really quick here.
What are you doing? You want to play the music again? I'd like to thank our guest this week, Ben Carson.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 100th episode of Dynamic Banter.
Oh, okay.
I can't find Mortimer. Welcome to the 100th episode.
It's weird that he wouldn't make himself known.
I think he left. He might have skipped town.
We had a good run.
Do you love how Sam and DJ did like a big awesome show and for their 100th episode and we're just like...
You played a song for us.
And welcome to the 100th episode of Dynamic Banter.
Well, it's, you know, it's whatever you make it.
We're just, I mean, I wish I had time to plan. Like Mike and I always... Talking to the audience now, Mike and I always talk about doing really fun, unique stuff on the show, but time just doesn't permit it, unfortunately. It makes me sad.
It happens organically.
It does happen organically. And I think we more than make up for it with our personalities and our senses of humor. We're big boys.
It's like, what would you rather have, if we're being honest? Would you rather have a show without a lot of extra bells and whistles that's relatively consistently good and funny to listen to? Or would you rather have like Mike and Steve go to the theme park and fucking hate each other all day because it was meticulously planned over everything
and
else?
And stressful and so stressful. And
I don't want to take off my shirt in public.
It's definitely not hard to plan those open space shows.
No, I mean, we've done
and we've done them.
Yeah. Really fun. They turn out real well.
It's just tough, man. Hard to make the time for it.
Lots of stuff going on. I think people are, I would imagine that people are more stoked in general that we are busy. I think if we were doing too much stuff like that, people would be like, man, a lot going on.
Yeah. We want to be low key.
But then again, everything The Rock does is special, you know? So maybe you just get to a certain point where you have enough money to make everything special.
Is The Rock still cooking?
I would imagine he probably has a lot of it done for him.
He has his own chefs, and The Rock smells what someone else is cooking.
That's the new, he has a home and garden show. They're like, come smell what The Rock's cooking. And it's a big, beautiful home. It's like a B&B.
Yeah. Not an Airbnb.
No, it's called The Rock Breakfast and Bottom. Welcome to the 100th episode.
Today on the 100th episode, Mike and I are going to do absolutely nothing different. How you doing, man? Dude, there's a lot going on right now. I'm like...
Let's talk. You mean like in the world?
Yeah, man. Like politics. Let's talk about politics.
Dude, I was just at a bar with Elliot Morgan. We were in
Humboldt
North Hollywood.
County.
Humboldt Bragg. And the bartender was talking about how she doesn't eat eggs. And I was like, oh, do you have like an allergy or are you like vegan or something? And then she went through that whole conversation about trying to be vegan and then being a vegetarian for a long time and all the things that are bad for you to eat. And I zoned out in record time because I can't like, I mean, I was interested in the one question because my friend Alex is allergic to eggs. So
right.
She said something about a tofu scramble or something. Most LA thing.
I'm into a tofu scramble.
That's great if you like that kind of thing. So Alex really likes those, but he does that because he gets violently ill if he has anything with eggs. Must be a horrible existence.
Wow, violently ill?
So I was just wondering if she was similar.
Yeah.
And then it got similar to, well, you know, I just watched this documentary and really shouldn't be eating reduced fat wheat thins. And I was like, oh no, I'm out. What do I do? It's like if you fell off the Titanic or any cruise ship, and it was going so fast away from you.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'm going to...
You're not going to catch up.
No.
Yeah, the food thing is such a interesting category of discussion.
Because it's like a it's like a whole personality sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like I can appreciate I don't have a problem with people's like weird diets as long as it's not like annoying and problematic.
Somebody else's diet isn't something that should affect you.
Right.
Unless you're stuck in a conversation about it.
Right. It's really easy to just tune out and put a big old smile on your face.
But I'm hyper aware of everything that's going on all the time.
Yeah.
It's part of being a comedian. Something can't happen unless you address it. You're present. You're in the moment at all times.
Yeah.
And I'm very empathetic. So I can't have a conversation with someone and knowing I've talked to enough people about wrestling to know what it feels like to watch somebody zone out and not give a shit about anything they say. So I don't want to be that either.
Right.
So now I'm listening to this conversation. Like I recounted all the main points to you just now. I listen to everything.
Yes.
But I don't care. And I don't know how long it's going to go.
Sure. I mean, and that's probably an age thing.
Maybe. You think about your time.
Yeah, you think about your time and what it's worth. And
welcome back to the 100th episode.
Once again, it's the 100th. I'm hyper aware of, like, only really strange things.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not hyper aware of, like, much at all.
I can see that.
But you know, I'll notice a human turd on the sidewalk.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell the difference.
I mean, it just seems like it has to be.
I'm on board.
And I know a lot of people would choose to not see that.
Mm-hmm.
And not take that in.
I don't see that human turd. I think that even if you didn't want to see that, that's kind of an unavoidable.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, in the same way that, like, you would see it and acknowledge it and ignore it almost immediately, like you tuning out for the dietary discussion.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much what most people do when they see, like, a normal person seeing a human turd on the street or on on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
They're not going to make a meal out of it.
So you're...
Excuse the French. Pardon Malzier.
I wanted to make a bunch of jokes about that, but I don't know how to do
about
it.
About seeing a human turd?
No, about making a meal out of it, but I don't make know how to do it without hurting the show. So, but would you, like, if you were at the bar today and we listened to that whole dietary conversation and we went outside and there was a human turd on the on the sidewalk, would you go back into the bar and tell the bartender
that
about
there's a human turd? I actually would, yeah.
Like, here's my thing.
I think
we
listened
to your thing for a while.
I'd be like, I just saw a human turd out on the sidewalk, and I just want to know, what time do you think that occurred? Do you think there was daylight?
Was there a glisten to it?
Do you think this person felt like they were in a private room made it happen?
Imagine the ability to turd in public like a dude in his 20s pees on a building.
Well, dude, I was at the Ren Fair and we were in the petting zoo and there was a goat that just, like, its butthole opened up like the iris of a camera.
Yeah, and then they just pour the kicks out of it.
It just, yeah, just like it, it literally opened up.
If you've never seen a goat poop, it's the... And I try not to exaggerate too much on the show. Exactly the same as pouring a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah. And but through a hole.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I could see, like, pretty deeply inside this goat.
Sure.
When it opened up, it's like exit.
Yeah.
It just went like...
Time to expel.
And then you can hear... And then for a moment, you just hear... Because that's all the...
There's a wind? Like Elder Scrolls?
Well, because it's the deep cave.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then... And then all these... Just, it's like someone took a handful of blueberries.
Yeah.
And just pushed them through a little hole.
Pushed them through a scuba suit.
Push pushed them through a sleeve of a scuba suit. And it was just dropping at a rate that was quite fascinating. And
meanwhile, Goat's just chewing on something.
Yeah, yeah, it's just standing there. Like, there's nothing different
about it. Thinking about its next move.
Yeah. And probably enjoying the feeling of relieving its colon, its bowels.
It's so weird to have your asshole that high. That's a high
It is
asshole.
Very strange. Yeah, because you're dropping them down.
They gather speed.
They
inertia,
do. Yeah.
The inertia and gravity takes them.
It's like dropping a penny off the Empire State Building.
Imagine a goat shitting off the Empire State Building.
Wow. That's like Armageddon when the meteor, or it's like one of those disaster movies where the meteors come down.
Dude, what the fuck is up with all these shows? Why has no one done that yet? There's how it's
a goat
made.
Shitting off the side of a building.
Please.
Because I think that the Mythbusters, I think the Mythbusters, I think the Ghostbusters did a test of that already, the penny off the building. And I don't think it does much, I thought.
We have to test everything.
Well, let's do it.
We've done the penny. That's old hat.
Yeah.
Now I think we move to goat turds.
Yeah. Balloon.
What was your, if you could drop
water
one
balloon.
Thing, water. Is that your answer to the next question?
To throw a water balloon off a building?
If you could drop anything off the Empire State Building and know that you wouldn't kill anybody. Or unless that helps you, you can imagine killing somebody. I would hope that it didn't.
If I could drop anything off the Empire State Building.
I've thought about this for years.
Have you really? Yeah. Like, you know already what you would drop off the Empire State Building?
For a year. I've had my solid answer for years.
And for sure it won't hurt anybody?
No, that's not what's important here.
Okay, wait, but you're saying it won't hurt anybody.
It could destroy the ground, it can go through
okay, but
car.
It won't hurt a person.
Won't kill a person.
Okay, maybe like...
Might frighten a person.
Maybe like a 1920s cash register full of coins.
Let me guess the thought process. Well, penny, we talked about pennies.
Yeah.
Silver dollar, it's big, but it's one.
Yeah.
How do I throw a million coins off at once?
I mean, I could have said like a big jar of coins.
Yeah.
But
cartoon piano. You
cartoon piano. But I think it would be very satisfying to see a 1920s cash register hit the ground because all those little gears and buttons will
so
fly off everywhere.
So many protruding buttons.
So many gears.
That's one of those fun things where, like, you know when something just looks heavy?
Yeah,
like even if that was empty, that's a heavy apparatus.
Yeah, that would kill a man.
Oh god, yeah, dude, you could drop it on somebody's foot and kill somebody.
You probably could.
Yeah,
they'd get gangrene and die.
They would. That's how they got a lot of the bank robbers.
This has been
100th.
Okay, so what's yours? What do you drop?
Bouncy ball.
Oh, a bouncy ball.
Yeah.
Dude, that's great.
There was.
What do you think would happen? Would it bounce as high as the building?
I think that realistically, the wind would do stuff, and
it would
hit
slow
like the building, and it wouldn't be clean. It wouldn't be like I imagined.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would bounce probably half as high.
Yeah.
But that is still, at that point, that's like 50 stories.
Yeah, and I guess depending on how it hit the ground, it might just go right into a wall or something.
Oh, absolutely. But imagine
how unsatisfying would that
be? Being in an office and seeing something fall. And
like, what the hell was that?
What was that? It kind of catches your eye for a second. Like, probably barreled, right?
Barreled.
And then you look back, maybe you're having a look out the window, and then it just comes up.
A little pink ball.
Yeah.
Like a little pink rubber ball.
Yep. There was this
what about a big one? A big bouncy ball.
Like one of those ones with like a baseball size.
Yeah, those are nice. Absolutely. Remember those? Like from Chuck E. Cheese?
There were two different types. There was the types that's like a kind of sparkly.
Yeah.
And very
clear.
Like silicone-y.
Yeah.
And then there was just the one made out of pink rubber.
Yeah, pure pink rubber.
And it just said rubber ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So which one? Are you talking about the silicone-y ones?
Yeah, I'm talking about the ones that's like clear, that has the sparkles in it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think the pink one would be satisfying too, but...
To a certain extent. Not a lot to look at.
But it's not as pretty.
Less sparkles.
Love those sparkles.
Anyway, this has...
Mike, I got to talk to you about how I'm playing at the Viper Room tonight.
That's insane. That's insane.
It's so ridiculous.
We're
going to
be down the street from each other. What time are we going to be there?
It starts at 8, but we go on at 9.
I'll be going.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm going down there right after this.
Oh, really?
A block away.
Oh, okay. So you're coming. You're going to be home by that time.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know.
I mean, you know, you don't have to come. It's going to be
real
weird. What
if tonight's the night I get passed at the Laugh Factory? Not for doing a good job on stage, but for just being present at a podcast.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks so much for showing up. Appreciate all your hard work. Heard you also do YouTube stuff. How would you like to be a paid regular?
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. What if that happens tonight?
The YouTube part won't be a part of the sentence for sure.
Because they don't acknowledge that as a reputable
source. Oh, they acknowledge
source.
It, but it's not positive. It's the opposite of that.
So it's not reputable.
No. Usually keep that part out of the conversation.
So
as funny as that sounds.
So my good friend Peter Gilroy.
Yeah. He's a music boy.
From the Bath Boys.
He's
funny.
Also a Bath Boy.
He's a Bath Boy from the comedy group on YouTube called the Bath Boys, if you've never seen their stuff.
Very funny.
Very, very funny stuff. He hit me up like a few months ago and was like, dude, we got to just jam. Come jam with me and my band. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're just going to fuck around with guitars and just have fun. And I was like, that sounds like a goddamn blast.
Yeah. Dude, no one who doesn't love music
can resist
the word
that.
Jam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm totally
into
jam.
That are just like whatever are like, I don't want to jam. I want to jam with you. But people who are so excited to just touch an instrument every day are like, you touch instruments too? Come touch instruments in the same
jam.
Room as us.
I never really did much jamming. Mm-hmm. Like I had like two or three like not serious bands in my life and jamming was like not very fun for me because I wasn't good at playing the guitar and I couldn't just improvise.
Yeah.
So like I've never really like jammed.
Yeah.
But the concept of jamming is really fun to me.
Yeah.
Like I even like jam bands. Like I think Grateful Dead is like a jam band.
Dude, people talk a lot of shit, but Dave Matthews is a really good band.
Dude, I love Dave Matthews. Insanely I was just listening to that Eat, sleep, and dream, or what is it? Drink, sleep, and dream.
Dude. If you isolated any individual track in that 75-piece band, because it really is like Chicago.
Yeah.
It is like the new Chicago.
Yeah.
It's insane. Even just the drummer, the bass
super
player.
Complicated shit.
Insane.
And it's
shit.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. I love Dave Matthews.
He's great. Big inspiration for me being a small acoustic boy.
That's
in the
cool.
90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Him, Jonathan Myers.
Was Dave Matthews the band that dropped a bunch of poop on the road when they were.
I believe that was
you remember
an
that?
I don't think they did it with Malice.
Right. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. They were out of their tour bus or something. It was like off a bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a total accident
onto a different highway.
Just
don't know what I pooped out on the ground.
Terminators.
That was the closest we'll get to the goat.
Yeah.
Opening up the back of a bus and dropping shit off a mountain.
The reason why I even brought up the goat though was like, because imagine just being able to stand there and just let a shit out. Talking to your pals.
Yeah, and have it not
be a thing. Yeah, just like a big old fucking turd.
Do you see that?
You're just like, and like the other day, like I was just like, what? And it's just this giant turd on the ground underneath me.
Yeah, but how many different times do you have, like what's your ratio of good poops to bad poops?
I know.
So you would have to have all these bad poops.
I know.
Like five white poops in front of your friends?
Well, we also, as humans, we have like the buttocks, which
seen them.
Which is what keeps the poop chute close tight.
Sure.
And animals have like exposed rectums basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very easy for them to just drop a load.
Sure.
And then Bob's
and also,
your uncle.
Also shame.
Yeah, and there's shame.
We're the only ones with shame.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think dogs have shame.
You think so?
No.
You think dogs won't shit anywhere they want?
They certainly will. But yeah, dude, like I'm gonna play the Viper Room with Peter Gilroy and his band called Lullabies.
Okay. I've seen their Instagram clips and I like them very much. They're very relaxing, very soothing music.
It's fun. It's fun. And
he has a beautiful guitar as well.
Yes, he does. And he's got a good band of boys. And Peter hit me up and when I was in Arizona, I was putting up Instagram videos of me playing that flute.
Yeah.
And Peter hit me up and he's like, dude, please play that in my band.
Uh-huh. We have a couple songs in B.
Yeah, dude, it's weird because it works on every song. It really does. It works on every song.
Yeah. What's the margin of error there between thinking that it works on every song and playing on every song regardless?
I don't think I'll be playing on every song. Like, I might exit stage.
You're not going to do that thing where you sit on an amp and, like, nod Should to I the do songs that you're not in?
Should I do that?
I think it's... I don't know. Because I don't know what... I'm too far removed from...
I know. I don't know what... It's been a while since I've played with a band.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time since I played. Because
there's
with a
one
band.
Of two things. You're either out there or you're the guy who's like, you know what? Let's bring Steve back out. Steve Zaragoza back out.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing tonight? We're going to bring our good friend, family friend.
Bring it out. Come on. Put your hands together.
This guy holds my kids and Steve Zaragoza back out.
The 100. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know who I'll be tonight. But and I also don't know if I should like dress like a weirdo or dress casually cool.
Can I? I'm gonna say something.
Okay.
And it's just my suggestion.
Okay, go ahead.
And you take this and you be whatever you're gonna be with it.
Yeah, I value your opinion in this area, Mike, because you were a traveling band.
Good. Don't wear shorts on the stage.
Oh, certainly not. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No one sees your legs. No one sees your toes.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Unless you're any female.
You can have your shoes off. And
is a very hippie thing to do. I used to listen to this band Days Away. Mm-hmm. Ooh, boy. And I never saw that guy wear shoes.
Also, and that's okay.
Leonard Skinner never wore shoes.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, just be safe. That's like a music festival thing to do. Yeah. I gotta feel it.
Dude, I'm just like stoked to be... on the Viper Room stage.
That's like an
iconic LA venue.
You should flip yourself out and go through like everyone who's been on that stage.
Oh my god.
On your phone in the green room before you
go on. Oh no. I don't want to do that.
I did that at Toad's Place in New Haven. You ever hear of Toad's Place?
Is that
like a place that transcends regional diction?
Ooh, that's my favorite Depeche Mode album.
That's the place in Connecticut where like anyone, it's a bar. It's right. Like a big bar, but like Rolling Stones played there. Fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan, James Taylor.
Yeah.
Hall & Oates. Yeah. On, you know, yeah. Everyone comes through there. And I got to play there a few times and I was always just like, because they've never fixed anything. And there's a spot.
Oh,
back
so it's
there.
Like it's like CBGB or whatever the fuck that place
CBGBs?
Was.
CBGBs. It was like Connecticut CBGBs.
CBGB. Okay, got it.
And then there was like a backstage area with like a jacuzzi and like a sex area.
Oh my god!
And it was
who's used that jacuzzi,
dude? Too many.
How many sperms are in there?
Too many. All of the venereal diseases are in. It's like a pot of
scientists are
disease.
Baffled with how many venereal diseases are in that jacuzzi.
My foot. I have foot syphilis.
I've got a thing. I can't find bands that have played the Viper Room for some reason.
I've never heard of it.
But I have found an article that says Viper Room deaths.
Oh, no.
And there's an article on Ranker called 10 Wild, Violent, and Tragic Stories from the Viper Room, the legendary bar owned by Johnny Depp.
Oh, he owned that place?
No, I think he still currently owns it.
Come to the Viper Room. Have a good time.
Well, we know about River Slap Phoenix. Lady. River Phoenix died outside of the Viper Room. We know
yes,
that.
That was, what's his name? What's his name, Tommy? Who's the dude... with the Angels. No, not Charlie Sheen. Like little Charlie Sheen. What the fuck is his name? 80s, like he was in every movie in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Corey Haim.
Yeah.
Corey
Haim.
Corey Feldman.
Yeah. Because Corey Haim passed away as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Slipknot's Corey Taylor was thrown in jail after purposefully smashing a Viper Room window.
Dude, musicians love to break shit.
Oh, yeah.
I never got it.
Yeah.
You got to be a certain level of we could afford something else to replace it to want to break shit.
Wait, listen to this. The Viper Room was part of an illegal $100 million high-stakes poker ring for Hollywood celebrities like Ben Affleck and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Out of every celeb who sat at her table, Bloom admitted that Tobey Maguire was the sorest loser.
What the fuck?
I'm Spider-Man!
Huh? I danced!
Three Spider-Man movies!
For half the movie, I danced!
Three Spider-Mans! I've played three Spider-Mans!
Thomas Maguire, sore loser.
Days before he was supposed to testify against Depp, Anthony Fox, a co-owner of the club, disappeared. Oh my god.
Holy shit. Are you going to be okay at this
Did
point?
Johnny Depp disappear someone?
You make fun of me, you'll never be seen again.
After Counting Crows exploded, lead singer Adam Duritz bartended at the Viper Room to keep it real. That's a sentence that's written on the internet.
You know who my favorite singer in the 90s was? Fred Durst.
I don't know who John Frusciante is. But
he is the guitar player of the Red Hot Chilean Peppers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Chilean Peppers. He played a disastrous, bizarre set at the Viper Room when he was strung out.
Oh, no.
The Viper Room was originally a 1950s strip club owned by famed gangster Mickey Cohen.
I have no antidote to Mickey Cohen.
The Viper Room's haunted.
And here's just one more line down here. It says, the Viper Room is haunted.
It's the one I've heard that...
I'm looking up famous...
I know, it's weird. I can't find anything about
famous
it.
Famous Viper Room photos.
Can't find them.
This looks like Disturbed. Was there once?
Uh-huh.
Looks like INXS walked by there on you the way to somewhere.
You can stop right there. You can totally stop there.
I think Rush parked their bus outside. So they were all going.
Paul Simon used a toilet in there once.
Paul Simon parked at the Viper Room while he went to E24. James Taylor asked to use the phone at the Viper Room.
I don't know, bunch of weird shit. Anyway, it's very exciting. I'm very excited about tonight, and that's cool. Yeah. Anyone who's listening that came out, thank you,
dude. What a cool thing, because that place is that's an awesome Hollywood history place.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's real cool.
And I'm gonna play a a flute.
Yeah.
Up there.
Just like Disturbed.
Like Jethro Tull. Sitting on a park bench.
Dude, we've infiltrated Hollywood, man.
Yeah, man. But like, it's so funny how we're like Hollywood adjacent.
Yeah, I mean, in the same places, but.
Yeah, but it's differently. But it's like, having performed on famous comedy stages. And me about to perform at the Viper Room, like, it says nothing about our status in life. It just says we're like, I mean, it says a lot about our who we are.
Well, compare it to past things. I lived in Connecticut.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I was limited in what I could do. Like, I could drive or take the train to New York City and have kind of similar experiences. But unless you're to the point where you're able to move across the country and do whatever you do for a job to sustain yourself to the point where you can work up to those stages, I think that says something for your, unless we're talking about two different things.
No, I think we're on the same page. I just,
I think we're there because we're better than we were.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be anywhere near those stages if we weren't
good at the flute.
At least good at the flute. Good at playing an improv flute. Mike, I'd like to get down to business here.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to the improv group, the Yes Andes.
Which features no member with the name Andy in it.
Andes?
Dollar Shave Club is a super rad, awesome club.
No joke, changed my life.
Yeah.
Dollar Shave Club. With the addition of, I don't want to get too far ahead.
Well, but Dollar Shave Club is an important part of my life. It's actually a at least a bi-weekly use.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Brand for me.
That to clean up you. You gotta clean, keep it clean.
Now, you might be thinking Dollar Shave Club is just all about shaving. Slicing hair down off your face. Or in your whoa. But it's actually not. I'll tell you what it is. There's so much more than just razors. They've got One Wipe Charlie's.
Oh my god. Good God.
Which will change the way you poop.
It is like bringing a spa to your ass.
It's like taking your ass out on an anniversary dinner.
Come on out, ass. We're going to paint the town.
Hey, ass. We're going to Hawaii.
I'm going to make you look like the opposite of a goat's ass.
I'm going to tell you what. You're going to get nooks you ain't never known to be clean.
You thought you were clean.
You thought you were clean, and I'll tell you what, you're never as clean as when you get a One Wipe Charlie down there.
First time.
Keep it soft.
First time you use a One Wipe Charlie, it's like every movie where they dress up a homeless guy. And the homeless guy sees a mirror and he starts to cry a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. I love those. Recognize himself. I love those movies.
That's what it's like.
Like rescue, Pretty Woman.
Rescue your ass from yuck with One Wipe Charlie's through the magic.
Look, just let's get down to the scoop. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have everything you need to get ready in the bathroom and are much more than just razors, as I've said. The Dollar Shave Club, yes, that Dollar Shave Club, delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. I'm talking shampoo. I'm talking conditioner, body wash, toothpaste. Hair gel, and even a wipe that'll clean the fuck out of your dirty ass, and it'll tingle you up. It feels tingly.
Aloe vera.
And they do actually have also an amber and lavender calming body cleanser, which smells so damn good.
I haven't been privy to
really?
That.
Really? Ooh, I hope you get it soon, because...
Is that something you put on a loofah situation or wash towel?
Yeah, you could, for sure.
What do you do?
It's got a little bit of...
It?
I'll just put it right in my hands and rub it down all over my... Whoa. And that's a combination of amber and lavender. And I'll tell you what, good luck finding a product that great at the store.
What is amber? I wouldn't be able to tell you what that smelled like.
All the Dollar Shave Club's products are made with top shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. You'll feel the difference. Plus, shipping is free with your membership. So, guys, here's a great way to get a bunch and to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products for just $5. That's five bone. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the sky. You get their Daily Essentials Starter Set, which comes with a body cleanser, One Wipe Charlie's, their amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and their best razor, the Six-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month. Add in a shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/banter. That's dollarshaveclub.com/banter.
Banter. Set it together.
I do love what they've got. In store. Guys, have you ever heard of Quip, Mike?
Yes. Big fan.
Me too. Quip has made brushing my teeth much more fun, and it makes me happy to smile.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I literally just got the email notification that my refills were coming in.
Mine too.
New battery and new brush head. Yeah. And I got legit excited.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was really stoked about it.
That's about as organic as you could possibly get. Real excitement from an email.
And when you get a Quip package, it's in like a cool little bag.
Space age bag. It looks like a weed bag.
It does look like a weed bag.
Like a medicinal weed bag. Not like the weed bag that your older brother stole your shoes.
Sure.
Different.
The truth is, Mike, most of us are brushing her teeth wrong, but, you know, not for long enough, and forget to change your brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing.
Did you know that 30% of Americans don't...
In your eyes, the light, the heat.
You're 30% of Americans, and this is no joke.
I can't wait.
It's sad, Steve.
Really stuck.
Because it's a statistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't even put the brush in their mouth.
30%?
30% of Americans.
Where are they putting them?
That's our country.
Where are they putting them?
They just don't have a brush.
They don't even have a brush. You're saying 30% of Americans don't even brush their teeth.
They'll have the brush. They'll put the toothpaste on the brush.
But they won't put it in their mouth. They'll put toothpaste on the brush, and then they'll set it down on the sink and go like, brush my teeth.
But they'll still do the spit, which is weird, and run the
and
water.
And there's plenty of it for some reason. Because it makes your mouth water wanting that toothpaste in your mouth.
And that's where Quip comes in.
Guess what, guys? Quip doesn't focus on flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing. But what makes Quip so different? Well, for starters, Quip's an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of abrasions to help keep your teeth clean. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding impulses that remind you when to switch sides. It's space-aged.
It looks space-aged.
It's so wonderful. You feel like you've got an Apple toothbrush in your mouth.
Sure.
Also, Quip's subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Guys, come on, man. This is ridiculous. $5 a month for replacement toothbrushes.
It's so good.
That's so good.
It's honestly made me brush my teeth more. Quip because also, I look at it and I'm like, man, that's so much fun.
I know. Let's and it's a fun little device.
Yeah.
It's a fun little game to play. It's like a brush and teeth game.
Yeah.
And the suction that mounts right onto your mirror is so cool. It unsticks.
It sticks.
Restickable. You can take it to a hotel with you and stick it right on the mirror. It looks really awesome.
You can put it on somebody else's car.
Guys, and Quip was on Oprah's O list, and it was named one of Time's best inventions, and the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. So, guys, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/banter right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. You know, those refill packs are $5 a month, but you get your first one free. That's your first pack free at getquip.com/banter, spelled getquip.com/banter. Get those quips, baby. Get them in your mail. Brush your teeth real hard. Make your mommy proud.
You only get one set of teeth.
It's Mother's Day. Get your goddamn mouth clean before you kiss mama on the lips.
Clean your mouth for your, if not for yourself, clean your mouth for your mom. Welcome back to the... Does that mean we brush our teeth like Oprah brushes her teeth?
Yeah.
Do we start our day like Oprah starts our day?
Ugh, no way. Oprah's morning routine is probably the most insane thing you've ever heard.
You think she's a jumping jacks person?
No.
What's first for Oprah?
I think she has like a cyborg suit that she just slips right into like Iron Man.
Show me today.
And I think it exercises for her.
Uh-huh. He's just standing in the suit.
Yes, he stands in the suit and it's doing things like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's doing like push-ups for her.
Dude, you know what I imagine?
Would that work? Would a suit that does that work?
No, because you have to, as long as it like used your, it couldn't just move you. It has to like provide resistance for your muscles.
What if it knew the resistance levels?
I'll solve the problem.
Okay.
Here's what I pictured when you said that. Okay. She steps into a suit and it looks exactly like Iron Man, but it's all like silver, like sparkly silver.
Right.
And maybe the eyes are like a beautiful jade or like a seafoam green or
into
something
that,
like
into
that.
That.
And she's in it. And she's locked in. It goes psst, and it locks her in. There's like a little puff of smoke that comes out of the side, and then it's just like electrodes on your body that stimulate your muscles. So she's just like activate exercise mode, muscle engagement,
and
she's just standing there in this beautiful suit, and all you hear is,
and she's just staring straight ahead with a straight face.
Yeah, because it's not even her face. It's just
it's the Iron Man face, and it's just
yeah. And then, oops.
muscle engagement completed.
I think while she's doing it, though, someone comes into her room and her Iron Man mask comes up.
Yeah.
And she's just staring.
What is it, Genevieve?
No. She's just staring. And then someone brings over a shake with a straw in it. And it's just, you still hear the zzz, zzz, zzz,
yeah, just
and she's just
out.
Like. And then gives the shake back. And then they leave the room. And then the mask comes back down.
Yeah. Zzz, zzz, dude, zzz, do you think zzz. She, that's so, to be stationary in the suit is really funny.
Yeah. With no movement at all.
The same type of phone that everybody uses.
Yeah, she probably has like an iPhone X or something.
You don't think it's some special like Oprah celebrity? It's like, Siri, make $1 million.
You think what's his name? Bill Gates made her like a personal Oprah phone?
Yeah.
O-phone. The O-phone?
Yeah. I think that's very easy to...
I'd buy the O-phone.
Because I remember like when cell phones first started getting real popular.
Yeah.
All like the rappers and all the celebrities would have like... just their version of it.
Right.
So I'm sure she just has a crazy Bentley of a phone.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. If you've got like a crazy car, like a lot of celebrities have like insane cars like you've never seen before.
Teslas that haven't come out yet and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe Oprah would have some kind of like special phone.
I think so. It opens people's hearts.
It opens people's hearts. Oprah eyes. Oprah. Oh, Mike. So we're going to Palm Springs
in
a couple of days.
Show host Oprah on.
Glasses off.
Oh, my God. What a good... I hope that someday we get to do a sketch that's like a 70s roast.
Why not? Let's just do it.
Okay.
We'll do it for Valley Folk.
Should we do it with this? Right
it's
now?
Not going to work.
Like, glasses off.
It's not going to work.
Okay.
We're going to Palm Springs in a couple days. Something called Clamor Con.
Yeah.
And it's...
We going tomorrow, you think?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I really like Palm Springs.
After getting super fucked drunk up with Peter Gilroy and his band.
We're going to get fuck up.
I'm going to get drunked up.
So you have drinks now. You have a drink
From time to time. Yeah, a drink.
Last time you explained it to me, you're like, I order a drink at like 5:30 in the afternoon, and I just have it.
Until 9 p.m., and it's not even finished by that point.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I would be worried that because you're new to drinking, mm-hmm. you have to go through like high school and college
drinking. Oh, right, all at once?
In a very short
amount.
Yeah,
no,
of time.
I
don't ever want to clean up your puke is what I'm
it's
saying.
It's been very stressful this past couple of months, and Elliot Morgan has introduced me to the wonders of a Jack and diet.
Sure.
And a couple of sips while you're sitting with friends.
Yeah.
I think it's nice.
Yeah. I don't get it as much as I used to. I used to do it, and then it would make me feel... like bad before it has any good effects. I think that's just the way body changes.
Well, Elliot was like, just wait until you have this when you're happy. He's like, then you'll really enjoy it.
Which is really the case. You could say that for anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I should see a movie when I'm happy. Welcome.
I've only been to Palm Springs like a couple of times. I remember going as a kid, and then we went to shoot a pilot with some friends out there at an Airbnb. But yeah, this ClamorCon thing sounds really fun. It's like a creators.
Yeah, I was there. I got a bagel at it last year.
Roundup.
Yeah.
You got a what?
Got a bagel.
Oh, you got a bagel. Cool.
They invited me last year, and I hung out and I ate their bagel. I think I ate one of their turkey sandwiches. And I saw some friends, and I sat in on a bunch of people talking about YouTube stuff. It's very interesting to hear other people walk 100 and just to hear their like qualms with it and to hear their proposed
solutions, fixes,
and like how it's very easy to just get trapped in like I've been doing it forever on the regular. And, like, I know how I need to do stuff to get stuff out on a regular basis.
Right.
But so many people do so much more, just put out things more frequently, and it's interesting to hear their process.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. You're right, because there are people that are like doing the daily grind, which is like crazy, insane to me. So crazy.
There's not enough money in the world.
Yeah,
I used to talk to Trippy about, because I know Trippy through.
Yeah, he's cool,
and he
does he go there? Will you see him? You think?
I don't think so. They're in Florida, so they're like,
oh yeah, that's right, that's right.
They're like playlist people.
Michael Buckley comes out.
That's true. I think he had a lot. Oh, he's like involved in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right.
He's a good guy.
I like Michael Buckley. I like the Buckles.
What the Buckles? It was a show about pilgrims he used to do. But I don't remember what I was saying.
It's interesting to listen to the creators, their work on the daily.
Yeah.
Putting their stuff up.
And there's just like, I would listen to Trippy talk about like how he would be on tour. They would be on like the Vans Warped Tour or something, and he would have to like go somewhere and find Wi-Fi to upload like a fully edited.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, dude, never, never, ever.
Yeah, that's so much.
Oh, never, ever. Because then like once you start doing shit daily, it's like people expect that. And then once you want to take a step back and reclaim your life, they're like, oh, no. No, you promised us this,
right?
And this is what we get for free now. Right. And this is what we expect.
Yeah,
of you.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Shit's different, man.
Yeah,
it's just different now.
Like for me, I always have to like live life to be able to make stuff that I think would be funny in the context of life.
Right.
You know.
And right, because that's where the experience comes from.
And a daily vlog is more like this is what we're doing today, so it's more of like a voyeuristic.
Yeah.
Thing, and you don't have to necessarily get a big laugh or make a point or help someone.
Sure.
Or, you know, all that stuff might come naturally, but we need some time to formulate some thoughts and some jokes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
I'm gonna single out something you mentioned. You mentioned Warped Tour in there. Did you ever go to Warped Tour?
Only to see, like, Coley would be like, we're going to be in Anaheim or some shit.
Oh, that's cool. What were like the big headliners at
It's Warped bands Tour? Like...
Like Blink 182 and stuff like that?
I think so. And like Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte. Like
those type of. I'm probably being very dated. And
which band was it that's like, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous?
Was that Sum 41? Oh, yeah, maybe. No, wasn't that Bowling for Soup?
Maybe.
The pop punk bands are good at naming their band.
Yeah, yeah,
Panic at the Dixo.
Dick's Cobanis. Exclamation.
Exclamation point.
Johnny's Red Hand.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands.
John Hand.
John Hand.
That guy from that show about advertisement.
The Typewriters.
Dude, we play
the Yes Andes.
Dude, there's no shortage of good band names from back in my music days.
Oh yeah.
We played this contest once, this battle of the bands with this band called Dr. Rocktopus and the Nux.
I think Dr. Rocktopus would have been enough.
And they, I'll never forget them as long as they live. As long as I live. They got on stage and they finished their first song and it was loud. And they let the chord ring out, and then they went, surprise!
What?
Do you know how many confidence you have at that moment?
To yell surprise.
You're welcome!
You're welcome!
This song's about my skateboard. They're good. I think they won the contest. Any band who brings 400 people to a Battle of the Bands is going to win.
Yeah.
No Battle of the Bands has ever been contingent upon how good your band is.
Was that a good band, though? Dr. Rocktopus?
No. Not when I saw him. Maybe they've gotten
like better. They just sounded like they weren't ready to be on stage and stuff, or they just didn't
by
have
the
good
time
music.
We played with them. We were at the point in our musical career where we were practicing as constantly as we could because we were going to make it. So when you're there and you play shows with people who are just like doing it because they love each other, or they're like in high school and they have free time, or they don't play sport. They're in a band because they don't play sports. You're like, hey, good luck, but fuck you.
Right, right.
You get to a certain point, especially if you're in a rock band and you have to hear other bands where you're just like, I won't be in this building until it's our time to go on. I don't want to hear another band ever.
Yeah, I get that.
A lot
that.
Of people get that way with comedians, too. Like, a lot of the older comedians will be like, yeah, I'm not going to listen. The veterans that, like, want to help you and have, like, knowledge to bestow upon you, it's, like, a great honor to ask somebody to listen to your set, and they do. Or they come up to you afterwards and be like, I really like that joke or whatever. But to expect a comic who's heard nothing but other comics for 30 years listen to your new shit, it's like, what is this kid who's been doing this for 5 years yeah. going to say that I didn't hear in 1997?
Yeah, good point.
You know,
I guess it's about delivery at that point.
Yeah.
And presence.
That's why it always helps to be a nice person. Like, if you're like the Uber driver that I had, whose band sucked.
Oh, right.
I listened to the whole album because he was nice. Like, if we didn't know each other and you were like, if we met like yesterday and we hit it off like we do, and you were like, dude, I'm playing the Viper Room. If I didn't have anything to do, I would go to the Viper Room.
Yeah.
And bands who just walk around, like, if you're 17 and you're like, fuck, hell yeah, man, we brought 57 people who are going to cheer because they're our friends and family at this battle of the bands. That's supposed to be best band wins.
$100 gift card to Guitar Center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you have to spend it.
You have to spend it next weekend.
At Jerry's Swap Shack. Yeah, there's just no... Being nice trumps everything else, man. There's
yeah,
no,
of course. Yeah, and
very little good people left.
I remember having like a pretty bad panic attack in the back of an Uber one time,
which is my second favorite band from high school.
Pretty bad panic attack in the back of an Uber. Pretty bad panic attack at the disco.
That would totally be a band.
Yeah, pretty bad panic attack. Uh-huh. And the woman that was driving me was so nice. And she was telling a story about how, like, she was like, I was driving, we were going on Laurel Canyon, like the one that does one of these boys, the zigzags.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was driving with people that were feeling sick in my car, and I was trying to drive as slow as I could. And I'm just like in the back seat, like sweating and freaking out.
Yeah.
But she was so nice that it like calmed me down. Yeah. She like calmed me out of my panic attack.
It's like when a nurse has really good bedside
manner. Yeah.
Or not cold hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a good nurse when I was going through my kidney stuff.
That's
so
important.
Great.
Man.
She was so great. Yeah.
I'll tell you what the good nurses are.
Hmm.
And I apologize to any nurses, but you know, good nurses are on the day shift.
Yeah.
Because the nighttime nurses are like, how do I stop you from being annoying right now?
Yeah. Yeah. And also my favorite band from the 90s is Good Nurse.
Good Nurse. Good Time Nurses.
Do you have any plugs, Mike? Oh, we should do a History Road. We should do a History Road.
Please let me get some time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot about History Road. I've got so much going on. I can't think about anything at all.
I'm also not doing that other. I got the Bootski off the other podcast, so I don't have a hard out.
Oh, great.
Really talk about hard outs.
I've got a hard out to go right to sleep after this because I only got about 3 hours of sleep last night.
Dude, sleep is so incredibly important.
Ugh, tell me about it.
And you need it.
Tell me about it.
Remember when bare naked ladies were like, who needs sleep? Everyone. That's
yeah.
the answer.
Yeah.
That's why you broke up. That's why you ain't got two lead singer no more.
Did Bare Naked Ladies break up?
I think the blonde guy is not in it anymore.
I don't know which one that
the
is.
The one who sounded like this. I right. think they played at the Viper Room.
Oh!
Would you rather listen to 3 straight days of Dave Matthews Band or Bare Naked Ladies?
or Dave Matthews Band's poop.
We have the audio recording.
Dude, someone sent us an audio history road.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's nice. It's from Robin Brandt.
Sounds pretty British.
History Rose. But hang on, let me do this right.
There is so much I never could tell you. So much
history road.
You mean.
History.
My power, my pleasure, my pain.
Brain, baby.
To me, you're like a roller disco. Did you know that when it snows,
My eyes become blind and the night that you don't can be seen. Baby, I could pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, I'm gonna get a cute stranger it feels, yeah. Know that your rose
is... You hit that seventh and you hit it tough.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
History.
Robin Brandt says, hi, boys. I've never had the courage to do this before, but here's a history road I made for you. Would love to hear it on the podcast. If it's good enough, hopefully you'll like it. It gets a little serious at the end, but it's something I really want you to know. So if you don't put it in an episode, please listen to it if you can. That's sweet. All right, here we go. History Road.
Hello, horn-born babies. My name is Robin, and I'm from Sweden, and this is my History Road.
I
am using a small BBBB boy voice box app to speak, for I have lost the ability to utter even the simplest of words after the accident. So sit back and relax, eat some dick pickle popcorn and drink some flavored wets, while I tell you the story of how I lost my voice. It was a warm summer's day eve, and I was walking down a lonely road, with only my shadow as company. I was listening to the Dynamic Babies podcast while sensually licking a lollipop, working my way towards the lollipop stick. I've always enjoyed collecting those sticks, whatever they are called. I keep hundreds of them in a dirty sock under my bed, waiting until they'll be old enough to sell for a huge amount of coinage. I was working on my third lollipop when suddenly, I heard a sound coming from behind me. I stopped dead in my tracks, and listened. It was a weird, almost inhuman sound, similar to the sound of a dog tap dancing in rubber shoes, on a wet floor, wearing soaked pant. You jingle horse, better show yourself. I yelled out. I silently waited for an answer. Suddenly, I could feel a cold, wet breath on my neck. I slowly turned around, and was met by two big eyes staring back at me. I watched in fear as open eyes, close eyes, open eyes open. This creature before me was unlike any ever seen in our world. In my ears I could hear Steve scream about Quip and honking horns, and Mike laughing hysterically. I just stood there, staring.
Our world, said in a British female accent, is the most Game of Thrones thing I've ever heard.
Okay, good to, here I go.
At this creature for what felt like an eternity, when suddenly it opened its big, furry, thick lips, and kissed me. I didn't know what to do as I had never before been kissed by someone with hair on their lips. Except for my one friend who has a mustache. But this was a little different. After a short while, the creature stopped, and backed away from me. I could now see it in its full form. Thank you for the kiss, it said to me. I now have enough power to get back to my home world. Your voice was the last needed for spaceship. I opened my mouth to answer it, but no words came out. I open mouth. Close mouth. Open mouth. I looked into the creature's eyes with a facial expression that said, what the fuck just happened, but I received no answer, for the next thing I remember is waking up on my living room floor, completely naked, peanut butter all over my crotch, and wet pant hanging on the chair next to me. To this day, I haven't told anyone else what really happened. I just blame it on deep throating a hot dog for too long. So that's the story of how I lost my voice. Actually, you probably haven't figured this out yet, but I kind of made this whole story up. I can actually talk perfectly fine, but I do have social anxiety, which is why I have never been able to tell you boys how much you've helped get through my days, every day, for the last 73 years. Not to get too serious, but I wouldn't have made it this far in my life if it weren't for SourceFed, and now Dynamic Banter. Humble brag. Thank you so much for existing. I love you guys. Never change. Also, I bought Quip and it's amazing. Triple horn hong goodbye. Robin.
Wow, that was wonderful.
Triple honk honk goodbye. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what you're talking about halfway through that. Was it a wolf?
It was. I think it was a person with a beard. It was a person with a beard. Yeah, it might have been one of us.
Okay.
Maybe it was a wolf. Maybe it was a monster.
You never know.
I can't take it.
Okay, so you got a movie coming out? Or? Go ahead. Excuse me.
Okay.
We get her water? Let's get her water. Okay, so you want to tell us about this movie you have coming out next summer? Okay. And I understand Neil Patrick Harris is in it. Yeah, you had a good time working together. Oh, okay, no stories like that.
So, guys, Mike, do you have a plugs?
Fuck! Yes.
Do you have a plugs?
Do you have one plugs? May 12th, which I believe is Saturday, Oino Vino headlining a Vino is Welcome to the 100th. On May 14th, I'll be doing my 100th show at the Laugh Factory, Sean Joshi and friends. Contact me if you'd like to get on the guest list for that. I'll be at the Comedy Store on the 15th and the 16th. Different times. Go ahead and check out Mike Falzone for that. I'll be at the Open Space Theater for the Friends and Friends crowd work show.
It's a good show.
Thank you so much, Steve. There's a bunch of my comedian friends. No prepared material. Tickets for that on Eventbrite. May 20th, I will be on the Oh the Valley Comedy Night over there at 77 in Studio City. May 24th, I'll be at one of my favorite clubs. It's Flappers in Burbank. There are discounted tickets available on my app and my website right now. Morning show, Mike in the Morning, has been doing real well. It's just fun.
I love it.
It's real fun to make. Watch the newest episode that was inspired by Donald Glover. We've been talking a lot about him. And that comes out every Tuesday and Friday. We have a bunch of new Dynamic Banter shirts at dynamicbanter.clothing. And mm-hmm. I think that's it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of fun coming up.
I think Lee just found the Valley Folk office a $4 desk, I heard.
Yeah.
So you can look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start recording Dynamic Banter over there now at the Valley Folk office because a lot of this equipment's going to end up over there.
You know what's really interesting? And maybe it'll work coming from me. There was, and feel free to cut all this out.
Okay.
There was a bit of a, like you guys didn't want to post pictures of the office because it looks beautiful and you didn't want your patrons to think that you were spending all of their money on furniture.
Right, but it's all like $5 furniture.
Delman and Lee go to these fucking furniture auctions where they get this beautiful antique shit for like nothing. And Delman has a problem where he can't not buy anything. So I know he's like, I got 8 desks.
For a dollar each.
Two bedroom apartment.
Yeah, no, they've been getting amazing deals on everything. Every piece of furniture you'll see there is like literally like a $10 chair or like a $5 couch.
And it all looks beautiful. I told her to keep an eye out for me, for my apartment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Joe got a dresser for his house or something. I don't know. Good stuff. Speaking of the Valley Folk, if you guys want to be a patron of that, Valley Folk or patreon.com/thevalleyfolk to help us get that thing off the ground. It's moving along. We've got our office space. We're very excited. We're going to start streaming every Wednesday there again, and we're going to start doing podcasts there and our flagship show, which premieres in June, probably. End of May, beginning of June. Very excited. Very excited. Very exciting. Guys, thank you so much. This is our 100th episode of Dynamic Banter. So in honor of that, I'm going to honk this 100 times.
Okay.
And it's also just want to say thank you to everyone that's listened to us from the very beginning. It's been quite a journey, and I love you all, and I can't wait to move into many more years and many more episodes of this fucking weird ass show.
Yeah, man. And we really do plan on doing stuff like coming to see you in different areas. We're in talks with a couple people getting the ball kind of rolling on that. And like Steve said, you know, this is the most fun that we have. And I was talking about this at Sam and DJ's podcast.
Well, shout out to Sam and DJ.
And congratulations to them. The two of the nicest people in the world. And they have a beautiful audience like you guys. And they're just really cool people. And they come out and they support. And it's a really cool thing when you could sit with a friend of yours and just talk to each other like you'd normally sure. talk to each other and have a bunch of people like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you guys like that means that in some way, shape, or form, you guys are like us. So it really is a comforting thing to be in this group of people who like get each other. And like when I do shows all around the country, there's always, always, always dynamic banter fans there. And it really means the world. And you guys give me a bunch of cool stuff that I usually lose before I get to the podcast. In like Portland, they gave me that cool voice box that made all the like the
applause, the applause sounds and the cricket sounds. Stuff. Yeah, I have it over here now.
Another girl gave me like finger cymbals in Boston, and none of it has made it to this table, but I appreciate it so much.
As long as you have it, Mike, I think that's
all that matters. That's the thing. I have all of it, and I look at it. It's on my work desk every day, and I appreciate all of it, as I know Steve does. And you guys are really the, you know, really one of the coolest fan base of anything that I've ever been involved with, and very thankful.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Mike. That's so sweet of you to say. Yeah. And so without further ado, for those of you that have been waiting for the 100 horn salute, this is it now. So thank you very much, and I present to you the 100 honk horn salute, the 100 horn honk salute for 100 episodes of Dynamic Banter. Horns, guys.
Which we get to our 500th episode.
Can't wait for our 500th episode. My neighbor hates us. My neighbors hate me so much right now. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on Dynamic Banter. We love you very much. Thank you so much.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.